May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? These are the words that Jesus said to his disciples when he met with them on this occasion, as you have heard from the Gospel. We are in the season of Easter, and we continue with the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, from that passage that we have read, especially from the Gospel according to St. Luke, it concludes with those words that you are witness to these things. And let's just think a moment about this thing about being a witness. Seeing is believing, it is said, isn't it? It is indeed a very popular phrase that denotes the power of being a witness. It does indeed allude that inasmuch as the occurrence or existence of something could be doubted, once this thing is seen, then doubt is lifted. It is a person who sees that their doubt is lifted. Or in other words, it is a person who experiences the said occurrence that their doubt is lifted. And quite often we do hear phrases like, on the account of the eyewitness. And on account of an eyewitness, the doubt of other people are also lifted. Or are they? At times, we do find it that the more the eyewitness describes to us what happened, the more we get curious and the more we begin asking more and more questions, and the more we wonder how this could have been. I do remember a couple of years ago, we went to the theater to see Aladdin. And it was really, really incredible and amazing. Until it came to that bit where there is the floating carpet. Seeing is believing. But I could not believe what I was seeing. Because indeed, the carpet was floating. There were no strings. I tried to look for the strings. There was no smoke coming out. I tried to understand what was going on, and I couldn't. To date, I have no idea how they do make that carpet to float. In America, for instance, there is a place known as Area 51. Of course, according to official government records, it is known as a highly classified US Air Force facilities. But if you just do a very simple Google search of about Area 51, the things that just come up are just quite incredible. People say that this is the place that they have been able to witness UFOs of extraterrestrial origin. Or in other words, aliens. And for that reason, that place has been closed off. Or probably another example of one of my favorite places, of course, after Gloucester and Kenya, Scotland. There is this amazing place, this loch, that it is said that there is an incredible monster that lives in this loch. The Loch Ness Monster. That apparently some people have seen, and quite a lot of many people in the world are still waiting to see this Loch Ness Monster. And a lot of resources have been put in place to be able to see and to find this Loch Ness Monster. In fact, actually, it is just last year that one of the greatest experiments was conducted in Loch Ness itself to find this said monster. We're still awaiting the reports, of course, so I will be closely following what comes out of that report. So is seeing really believing? I saw the floating magic carpet. Some people have said that they have seen UFOs of extraterrestrial origin. And some people have said that they have seen Loch Ness Monster. What's more is that some people say that they saw someone who was dead coming back to life. And his name, Jesus. Seeing is believing. Or is it actually? And indeed the disciples, as we have read, when Jesus appeared to them, Jesus looked at them and he realized this. And he asked, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" And he said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For indeed a ghost does not have flesh and bones." And still if they could not be able to believe that, he said to them, "Well, do you not have something to eat?" And they gave him boiled egg, not egg, fish. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is at the heart of our Christian faith. His incarnation does not really make sense when removed from his resurrection. And the resurrection itself is more than a mere miracle. You see, the resurrection of Christ is our present strength. It is our future hope. It is a guarantee of our own resurrection. And clearly, it is a fulfillment of God's promise unto all of us. With the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not just a mere event in history, but because of his resurrection, we enjoy victory. Victory from sin and victory from death. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so central to our Christian faith, that indeed, actually, the principal day of worship that we gather is the day of the resurrection. On this day, we gather every Sunday to proclaim and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But hey, seeing is believing, isn't it? They saw, they touched. And you see, over the centuries, people have asked questions and people have put forward arguments as to whether this event, which is central to a Christian faith, whether it did indeed happen. I just want to highlight three arguments that have been put out there, which are absolutely incredible. There are quite a number of arguments, but I just chose these three, and I'm very happy to have a conversation later on about the other arguments that are out there. The first argument that I have chosen is an argument that is put forward that says something like this, that the women clearly went to the wrong tomb. The tomb that they went to was not the tomb that Jesus was laid. Of course, that could be something that is a sensible argument. If you go to look for James at number 28 King Edward's Avenue, you will not find James there. You will find somewhere else. Probably there's someone who is called James who lives there, but I don't know. But you will not find me there. And the argument continues to say, hey, look, the narrative of the gospel tells us that it was still dark. It was very early in the morning. It is dark. So clearly, their Google Maps was not working. It just led them to the wrong place. They just went completely to the wrong tomb. Therefore, Jesus was not there. Solid argument, you think, isn't it? Could it be that they actually went to the wrong tomb? But of course, as we carry on reading the gospel narratives of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of the things that we do realize is that we do hear that Joseph of Arimathea had just acquired this new tomb for himself and his family. So it was a really brand new, sparkling tomb, I would want to think. And of course, I do wonder, how is it possible that the women could have missed this new installation in town? But hey, the argument says that they missed it completely. We also do know that from the gospel narratives, that the women were present when Jesus was crucified. They were there, down there, looking up as Jesus was being crucified. They were there, present when his body was taken down. In fact, one of the most interesting Christian art sculptures, the Pietà, is of them taking Jesus down from the cross. So how then could they have completely forgotten where they had placed Jesus? But there is something else about this argument. Not just about the tomb, which as I have explained, I think that probably is not possible that they got it wrong. Just there is something else, I think, that is going on with this argument. That anything that just goes wrong, just blame it on the women. Just blame it on the women. After all, they were just women, isn't it? Blame it on those who cannot be able to defend themselves. Blame it on the minority. Blame it on the others. Blame it on those who do not look like us. I do believe that they did not go to the wrong tomb. I think they went to the right tomb. And that tomb was empty. So that's number one. The second one is a very interesting one as well. It has a fancy name, the Swoon Theory, whatever. But ideally, what this argument states is that Jesus ideally never died. He was just really exhausted. He was in a state of coma. He was really, really tired. From the events of what had happened over that weekend. And when they wrapped him in this grave cloth and put him in the tomb, it was nice and warm and cozy, and that was able to wake him up. to wake him up. And when he woke up, he was able to take off his garden, clothes, the garments that he had on. And he went and rolled the stone from inside. And he came out. And he went and revealed himself to his disciples. Well, I did see quite a number of us just jump on that idea. Don't know what you think about it, but it is one argument that has been put out there. Of course, we have no idea how warm those garments were, and we don't know. I mean, the temperature in the tomb, of course, must have been really, really hot. And of course, there is that argument about the other person who came back from the dead, Lazarus. We know that he was in the tomb for those 4 days. And we do know that when Jesus called him out of the tomb, he did actually come out of the tomb. But let us just think about the events of those few last days of Jesus. On the Thursday evening, he was arrested. He spent the night in the courtyard of the high priest, out in the cold. The next day, of course, he went and faced Pilate. He was taken around the city itself, facing different people. He was beaten. He was forced to carry the instrument of his execution across the city. He was indeed exhausted, really, really exhausted. to a point that he was not even able to carry the instrument of his execution all the way to Golgotha, where he was crucified. Simon of Cyrene had to help him. Of course, he might have been really exhausted. But we do know for a fact that indeed Jesus died. When it became dark, the gospel narrative do tell us, and the Roman soldiers were quite worried that indeed what's going to happen, people might just come and take them down, those who have been crucified, Jesus and the other two. And they started breaking the legs of the other people who were crucified with Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, one of them did proclaim that indeed this person is dead. And to confirm that, they pierced his side. And water and blood flowed from his side. Indeed, this has been given to us as a confirmation that Jesus indeed did die. And even if probably they would want to argue he never died, I do not know how he had the strength after all that busy weekend. He could have come out, taken off his garment that he was wrapped in, and rolled the stone from inside. Jesus died, and on the creed we do believe that he died and he went down to the dead and rose again. He gave his life for us. He laid down his life for us. It was not an illusion that Jesus appeared to have died, but he did not die. Indeed, he did give up his life. The final one that I do find also quite interesting is that all these people who claim to have seen Jesus, they were just hallucinating. That they were just seeing things in their minds, and Jesus was not there physically present. And of course, while we do know that indeed it is true that people sometimes do see loved ones who have gone before us in one way or the other, or sometimes see people who resemble them walking along the street. But the argument does say that indeed, yes, Jesus died. But in terms of all these things that we say eyewitnesses saw him, they were just hallucinating. Well, if it was one person or two people just saying that they saw Jesus, that would probably be also be a probable argument. But there is this incredible instance that Jesus appeared to 500 people all at once. Well, I know there are quite a number of hallucinogens out there, but one that can even be able to make people, 500 people, see one thing at the same time, that is quite interesting. It was not a hallucination that Jesus appeared to people after he resurrected. In fact, the New Testament writers themselves record 19 instances of Jesus appearing to people after his resurrection, right from the very first person, Mary Magdalene, all the way to Paul on his road to Damascus. The historian himself, Josephus himself, knows that Jesus Christ indeed rose from the dead and appeared at least, according to his records, 10 times to his believers. You see, friends, the resurrection is not an Area 51 situation. It is not a Nessie situation. It is a reality that Christ indeed is risen. And in his resurrection, we are reconciled to God. It is our assurance that even we ourselves, death is not the end. But more so is that sin has not got anything to hold against us, that we ourselves are reconciled to God. It is an assurance that his offering of his life has been accepted, and death and sin have no hold on us anymore. Jesus Christ is indeed risen. The tomb is empty. And it is out of this belief that we gather here today that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Amen.